Translation: Maharaj Prataparudra continued, "If Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is determined not to see me, then I am determined to give up my life if I do not see him." Please repeat, Maharaj Prataparudra continued. If Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is determined not to see me, then I am determined to give up my life if I do not see him. Purport. A devotee with Maharaj Prataparudra's determination will certainly be victorious in advancing in Krishna consciousness. Sri Krishna confirms this in the Bhagavad Gita 9.14. Satatam kirtayanto mam yatantascha jaritavrataha namasyantascha mam bhaktya nitya yukta upasate. Always chanting my glories, endeavoring with great determination, bowing down before me, these great souls perpetually worship me with devotion. These are the symptoms of a Mahatma engaged in the Lord's service in full Krishna consciousness. Thus, Maharaj Prataparudra's determination is very much exalted and is called Dridhavrata. Because of this determination, he was finally able to receive Lord Chaitanya's direct mercy. Om Gyanatimarandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshuramilitam Jena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shiva Sadi Gaura Bhaktavinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Vanchakaupa Turubhyascha Kripa Sindubhyevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha. So, this is very, very sweet part of Chaitanya Charitamrita, and it was a pleasure preparing for it, reading through the chapter and seeing what's happening. There's different nice verses that Rupa Goswami writes at the beginning of his books, describing his qualification or lack of qualification in his eyes, but how his describing Krishna's pastimes or speaking about Krishna is still valid. There's this nice verse: Mamasmin sandarbe yadapi kavita nati lalita mutam dasyantyasman tadapi hari gandhad buddha ganaha apishalagrama plavana gari modgara sadasa Sudhi kova kopi apinamita morta napibati. He says, and this is, I'm saying it because I'm giving class and I'm unqualified, but hopefully still it will be useful. He says, although the poetry of my play is not very beautiful, still the wise will take delight in it, for it bears the scent of Lord Hari. After all, what learned man will not bow his head and respectfully drink well water that has washed a shalagram shila? So well water is considered kind of normal, ordinary, but if it's washed a shalagram shila, then it becomes very auspicious. So although I may be very ordinary and unqualified, as we're speaking about Krishna, then hopefully this will be useful. So if you're not aware of what's happening in this chapter, which many of us may not be because we only have these classes two times a week, right, Saturday and Sunday, then what is happening is Maharaj Prataparudra, who is a great king in India, he's attempting to get the mercy of Lord Chaitanya. But Lord Chaitanya is a sannyasi, he's in the renounced order of life, and he's saying, I can't meet with Prataparudra Maharaj. So Prataparudra Maharaj is trying to hustle, trying to get through somehow or another, here, there, through different devotees, through different associates of Lord Chaitanya, and trying to get the darshan of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And it's a very interesting situation from lots of different perspectives. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says at the beginning of the chapter, Sarvabhaum Bhattacharya is speaking to him, and he says, I have something to ask you. And Lord Chaitanya says, yeah, ask me anything, don't be shy, just tell me whatever you want. And he says, we have this king, Maharaj Prataparudra, he's very anxious to meet you. As soon as Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu hears that, he puts his hands over his ears, and he says, no, I can't. He says, why are you asking me to do this? This is irreligious. He's saying, for somebody in the renounced order of life, to meet with a moneyed person, a person of the material world dealing with wealth, he's a king. He says it's the same as meeting with a woman. And he says, for me, that's just like drinking poison. So no offense to the ladies. It's the same for a woman meeting a man. It's just, you know, that connection with the opposite sex. For somebody in the renounced order of life, that's one of the main things they're giving up. So to come in contact with that temptation is not conducive. So he's saying, this is worse for me than drinking poison. He says, even if there's a form of a woman made of wood and you touch it, he says, it can bewilder your mind. He says, so don't put me in this awkward situation. So it's very interesting because Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Swayam Bhagavan. So he has no temptations, or he has no problems, or he has no attractions to the material energy. And Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is the most merciful incarnation of Krishna. But he's setting that example. He's setting that example for us. So when we hear that, then we think, oh, actually, you know, maybe I should get my act together. Maybe I should be a little bit careful. Maybe I shouldn't flirt or associate with ladies if I'm a man, or men if I'm a lady. Maybe I should be a little bit strict. Maybe I should be a little bit serious. Maybe I should be careful who I associate with in the material world at my workplace. If Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu didn't set this example, then we would follow his example. Krishna says, Yadyara charati shreshtas tattadevi taro janaha. That whatever action a great man performs, common men follow. And he also says, if I didn't perform my duties, the whole world would go to ruination, because they would think, oh, it's okay, I don't have to follow my duties, I don't have to follow Varnashram, I don't have to be strict. So Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is being very strict here for our benefit, to show us that we should also be strict in our Krishna consciousness. It's said that we should be strict with ourselves and lenient with others. And it's interesting preaching here that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is doing, just by being strict with himself. He's not asking anybody else to do anything. Then it's also elevating us. We see, oh yes, one should be strict. You may think, oh yeah, it's only for sannyasis. No. Krishna says, whoever is renouncing the objects of sense gratification in the Bhagavad Gita, he's a real sannyasi in the Bhagavad Gita. So we're all aspiring to be sannyasis. We're all aspiring to give up the material world for the spiritual world. That's what sannyas means. Nyas, sat, nyas, to give up for sat, for the eternal. So we're all aspiring to be little undercover, covert sannyasis in this world. We may be wearing white cloth or trousers or whatever it may be. We may not have a dunda. But we're all aspiring to give up our material attachments for the sake of pursuing our Krishna consciousness. So Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is being very strict, and he's saying, I can't meet Maharaj Prataparudra. But the devotees are saying, but he's a great devotee, he's a great soul, he's very attached to you, he's very devoted to you. And Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, no. He says, don't bring up this topic again. He says, if you bring up this topic again, I'll leave this place and I won't come back. So the devotees are being careful, but still, the devotees are very merciful, and they come up with various plans how Maharaj Prataparudra can obtain the mercy of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And we'll see that Maharaj Prataparudra has various different qualities that ultimately enable him to gain the mercy of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and to meet him and to serve him. One of those characteristics, one of the most important ones, is that he's serving the devotees. So to get Krishna's mercy, we need to get Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mercy. To get Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mercy, we have to get the mercy of Lord Nityananda. To get the mercy of Lord Nityananda, we have to get the mercy of the devotees first. So Maharaj Prataparudra knew that, and he was serving the devotees very nicely. One instance of that is that Ramananda Roy, who is Vishaka, correct? Vishaka, there's different opinions. Yeah, well, we'll say he's Vishaka. I don't have personal realization, so for me it doesn't make much difference. But obviously he's one of the most intimate associates of Krishna, and Srimati Radharani is an eternal associate. So he was a governor in South India, but he wanted to go and serve Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He wanted to serve Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu also wanted that. So Maharaj Prataparudra enabled that to happen. He enabled him to retire and to go and serve Lord Chaitanya on a full pension. He was still getting paid, even though he managed to serve Lord Chaitanya. And Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said of that, "My dear Ramananda Roy, you are the foremost of all the devotees of Krishna. Therefore, whoever loves you is certainly a very fortunate person." This is in relationship to Maharaj Prataparudra. And he said, "Because the king has shown so much love for you, Lord Krishna will certainly accept him." So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is giving some hints here that although he's refusing to meet Maharaj Prataparudra because of the service that he's done, serving the Vaishnavas, serving such a dear Vaishnava as Ramananda Roy, then Lord Chaitanya is not saying, "I will give him my mercy," but he's saying, "Lord Krishna will certainly bestow his mercy upon him." And later on, it's actually Maharaj Prataparudra who asks Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, "Please speak to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, ask him if I can meet him." Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya breaks the news to him that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, "No, he won't meet you." And then we're hearing these verses here. He's saying, "Well, what? Has he come to deliver everybody except for me? Is that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mission? Am I so fallen that I'm the only one in the three worlds that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu won't give his mercy to? And if he won't give me his mercy, if that's his promise, if that's his vow, he won't give me his mercy, then my vow is that I'll give up my life." So that's his reaction to what Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya is saying. And when he says this, then Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya is struck by Maharaj Prataparudra's determination, struck by his devotion to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. That, how does the verse go? "Tanhavina, without him, Chadiba Jivana, then I have no life. There's no point in me living if I can't meet Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu." So Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya is struck by that, and he says, "No, there must be some way that you can get the mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu." And then he comes up with this plan. He says, "Soon it will be Snaniyatra." Sound familiar? Next month it's going to be Snaniyatra. And he says, "After that it's going to be Rathiyatra." So just pretty much the same timing as we're at. And he says at Rathiyatra, the Lord, he'll be dancing, and he won't be in his external consciousness. He will be in his internal consciousness. He will be seeing Jagannath as Krishna, and he will be attempting to take Krishna back to Vrindavan. This is the whole mood, the whole theme of Rathiyatra, that we're bringing Krishna back to Vrindavan from Kurukshetra. And Lord Chaitanya will not be in his normal consciousness. He won't be in his normal day-to-day office job, got to get this done, got to be back by this time consciousness. He will be totally absorbed in Krishna Prema. And he says when he's absorbed in this way, at the gardens, partway through the procession, you go to him and you recite the five chapters of Srimad Bhagavatam that describe Krishna's Rasa Leela. Don't be dressed as a king, be dressed as a normal sadhu, and in this way you'll get Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mercy. And Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya was correct that Maharaj Prataparudra did this. He was massaging the lotus feet of Lord Chaitanya, and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was very pleased and he obtained his mercy. But how did it come? Came through the devotees of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Lord Chaitanya said, "No, I won't see you. Worse, better for me to drink poison than to meet you." Not the nicest thing to hear if you want to meet somebody. Not the most encouraging. But Prataparudra Maharaj, because he was serving the devotees, Also because he was very humble, Maharaj Prataparudra was doing the service of sweeping the road before the Rath cart when Jagannath was coming. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu also saw that and he was impressed. A king, such a big, powerful personality, and he's taking the activity of a street sweeper for Lord Jagannath. He was impressed. That also melted Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's heart. So he obtained the mercy of the devotees. He was very humble, but he was also very determined. And this is the quality that's mentioned here in the verse. Maharaj Prataparudra says it himself. Actually, yeah, his determination. Can be translated in different ways. His determination, his promise. Maharaj Prataparudra says, then I am determined to give up my life if I do not see him. Srila Prabhupada says, a devotee with Maharaj Prataparudra's determination will certainly be victorious in advancing in Krishna consciousness. So this determination is also very powerful. Prabhupada says it's called Dridhavrata. And because of that, he was able to obtain Lord Chaitanya's direct mercy. So this determination in Krishna consciousness is very important. It's very powerful. I was hearing recently about different personalities in the material world, how they've achieved success through their determination. One example, it was a Krishna conscious podcast I was listening to, but they were talking about this material personality. So I will indirectly speak about him through quoting these devotees, so it's bona fide. They were talking about Michael Jordan, how he's a supremely successful sportsman, basketball player, like the best legend, like the best ever. But there was a documentary on his life and it showed the determination, the sacrifices that he had to perform to achieve that success. And actually it was quite damaging in his life, in his personal relationships with his family, with his wife, with his children, that he would just sacrifice everything for his basketball to be the best. But we just see that in that sense it may be damaging, but for somebody to be successful, for somebody to be Akeha Kuru Nandana, for someone to be one-pointed on something, it requires a lot of sacrifice, it requires a lot of determination, it requires a lot of discipline, it requires a lot of time management. Any personalities who are successful in any field in general, then it requires a lot of hard work, a lot of determination. So how do we develop that determination? It's not so easy, right? We may think, this is tough, this is hard, this is difficult, I can't be bothered. How would you suggest, how do we develop determination in Krishna consciousness? Associate with those who are determined. Associate with those who are determined, yeah. Anything else? Have certain goals, yeah. Yeah. Maybe interim goals before going back to Godhead, then I want to achieve this, yeah. Yes? Yeah, very nice. Following the footsteps of people who have already achieved that. Yeah. I was also thinking, yeah, if we're associating with people who are determined in Krishna consciousness, or we see examples of people who are, then we can also see what they do, right? And we would implement what they do. So I was thinking a couple of things that are very useful to make one determined. One is get up early, go to Mangalati. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati said, right, you should beat your mind in the morning with a stick and beat your mind in the evening with shoes. Because it's the mind that's like, you know, I don't want to do that. You know, I can't be bothered. I'd rather stay in bed. Or cold shower, oh, come on, you know, this is not normal. It's not normal. Who does this? You know, who gets up at 3 o'clock in the morning? Are you insane? Don't be too fanatical. Just be normal. Be a normal Hare Krishna. Get up at 7 o'clock in the morning. Don't be a weirdo, you know. It's the mind that comes up with all of these things. So Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur says you have to recognize at the moment you're sleeping with an enemy. You're living with an enemy 24 hours a day. The mind is saying, it's okay. Mind is saying, oh, this, when you're chanting japa, right? The mind is saying, yeah, but what about this? What about that? This is important. This is interesting. So difficult. So Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur is saying, no, you have to cut through the mind. You have to kick the mind out. cold showers in the morning. Ramana Shingapuri introduced me to it a few weeks ago. Obviously, I knew about it. I was always having warm showers and then cold one at the end. But he said, best cold shower all the way through. Only cold water. That's it. Only cold water, beginning to the end. He said, I haven't been sick for years. He said, do it. It makes your immune system very strong. And since doing that, I find it very good. It's like a sadhana, you know, and you like get a taste from a sadhana straight away. It's not just for the body, like waking up, getting it done. It's like, boom, it's heavy, it's nice. So having cold showers, getting up for Mangalati, going on book distribution, all of these things that we think would be like the worst thing in the world are the best things in the world for us. I was giving a class in Soho Street recently, and we were talking about that, how everything that we like is bad for us, and everything we don't like is good for us. Not everything, but often, especially in Krishna consciousness. So if we discriminate, we understand that, yeah, book distribution, who thinks that book distribution is torture? Couple of people, yeah, I'm sure more people would say if they were a bit more honest about it. You don't have to put your hands up. But I know many devotees who think it's the last thing I would ever want to do, you know, like go on the street and like tell people about religion, ask them for money. It's like most uncomfortable thing I can possibly imagine. But that's what Krishna wants. That's what Srila Prabhupada wants. That's Srila Prabhupada's whole mission, right? We know this story. Prabhupada said, I was in the spiritual world. Krishna said, come down to the material world. Prabhupada was like, maybe not. Got any other suggestions? Krishna was like, no, you're coming down. Yeah, I want you to come down to the material world. Just write your books. That's all you have to do. Then you can come back. So this is Prabhupada's mission given directly by Krishna. You just write your books. I need your books out there, down there. Then you can come back. So Srila Prabhupada wrote his books. What do we do? Study them and distribute them. So this is what an important service. Krishna wanted it personally. He says, get my books down there, get them out. So although it may be very difficult, they may be painful, and I know it is painful. You're out there, sometimes it's ecstasy, you're distributing the books. People take it, you feel so much pleasure. Sometimes nobody takes the book after an hour, right? You're standing there for an hour, no donations, no books go out, maybe 2 hours, who knows? Many times on book distribution, I felt like crying. You're standing there, and it's just like, you can't take it anymore. The rejection, you just feel like, I can't do it anymore. And then it just switches. And for an hour, every single person is taking a book, giving £10, £20. So it's all austerity, as Kripa Moyapu was saying in class day before yesterday, he was saying, it's all based on tapasya. Our Krishna consciousness is all based upon tapasya. Raghunath Das Goswami, his sadhana was like lions in stone, right? Carve a lion in a stone. Not so easy. How do you carve a lion in a stone? When we do building, you could use an angle grinder. If you know what an angle grinder is, it's like a saw, and to cut it in. The other way, I had to, you know, how do you do that? It's like very tough. It's very strong. So the mind may say, you know, I don't want to be carved into this morning by a cold shower. I don't want to be, you know, brutalized by going to Mangalati or joining the ashram or going on book distribution. But Raghunath Das Goswami, our Achari, his sadhana was like lions in stone. And we can't even imagine what their kind of sadhana was like. Chanting so many rounds, eating nothing, paying, how many obeisances was it he paid every day? 1,000 obeisances, I think it was, something like that. To the Vaishnavas, we can't even imagine what they did. So for us, our little sadhana, you know, it's like little children in the nursery, you know, kicking a little football around, and compared to the Acharyas, what they did. So for us to do what we do, then it's nothing in comparison. So we also need to develop that kind of determination. Shishi Radha Gokula Nanda Ki Jai. And there are other instances of devotees being similarly determined. There's a pastime that this is very similar to in Chaitanya Lila. Can anybody think of it? Similar to this, Maharaj Prataparudra saying, if I don't get the mercy of Lord Chaitanya, I'll just give up my life. Rukmini, yeah? Rukmini is one. Yep, that's very similar. Any other ones? Yes. There's a lot of acharyas who are going to commit suicide. For us, it's like, it's one of those things in Krishna consciousness that, I mean, maybe we can relate to it, maybe that's the problem. But it's a little bit like a slightly different culture. One time I asked my spiritual master about it. I think it was talking about this in a class. I said, we hear in acharyas saying that if I don't get your mercy, I'm going to commit suicide. I was saying, like, what should we think of that? And he said, don't commit suicide. He said, his main point with me was like, don't apply it yourself, you know, don't do it yourself. But we can see with the acharyas that it's just like an emotional thing, you know, they can't live without Krishna. I mean, we don't hear in general that they do, but it's definitely an emotion that they go through due to their deep attachment. There's another person who said that, actually he didn't say he'd commit suicide, I'll tell you, seeing as nobody came up with it, with Mukundadatta. Mukundadatta, he was obviously a great Vaishnava, relative of Vasudevdatta, an incarnation of either Madhukanta or Madhuvrata from the spiritual world who sang for Krishna, so he sang beautiful kirtan for Krishna. But also, he had one, I don't know if you say idiosyncrasy or interesting quality, that he would attend different programs as well. Not Vaishnava programs, different groups, Gyanis or even Mayavadis. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu didn't like this, that he thought it set a bad example. He called him, I don't know what this means, but he called him Kadahatiya Beta. Anybody know what that means? Any Bengalis? We can ask Sachi Mataji later. Kadahatiya Beta. He's going to all these different groups associating with different people. So he said, Mukundadatta can't come to see me. Everybody else could go and see Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He said, Mukundadatta can't come. And Mukundadatta was broken. You know, I can't see Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He's my life and soul. And he said, please ask Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, when will I be able to see him? Will I ever get his darshan again? And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, yes, you'll get my darshan again after a million births. And Mukundadatta was like, Haribo! That's great news! Why didn't you tell me? Like dancing in kirtan, Haribo! Jaya Gauranita! I'm going to see Chaitanya Mahaprabhu again. I'm going to see him again. I have no problems. That's fine. And when Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu heard that such devotion for me, you know, he's going to be able to see me after a million births. He's so happy. Then he said, okay, you can come and see me now. Now I see how much devotion you have. So do we have that kind of determination? Do we have that kind of patience? Do we have that kind of dridhavrata, as Prabhupada says? Or do we think, maybe I'll get up at 6. Snooze. Put the snooze button on. It's not so easy. So we have to cultivate that. We have to hear the example of these previous acharyas, and we have to develop gradually that determination. But as I was saying, these things, I mentioned cold showers, Mangalati, book distribution, they really change you. They really change a person. I mentioned before when I joined the temple in Soho Street, Ruben Puru, remember? Then I was so weak in so many ways, so pathetic in so many ways. But just by associating with devotees, getting that sadhana, eating that food, eating that nourishment, taking prasadam, literally being with devotees, getting used to it, coming to Bhagavatam class, hearing about these great souls, associating with devotees who are performing austerities, then it just becomes natural, right? It becomes normal. Especially if you're living in the ashram. If you're living in the ashram, so we have our Be a Monk Challenge contestants with us at the moment. So living in the ashram, it's like army training. In fact, it's worse than army training because you've got internal purification going on as well. In the army, you can go, you know, do your thing, do your work, but you don't have to surrender internally. You don't have to work through your internal anattas as well. In Krishna consciousness, it's like You have external purification, external challenges, and inside everything is being churned up at the same time. So it's much deeper, it's much more substantial, it's much harder in one sense. But if you get used to that stand of living in the ashram, then you're set. Then you're set on the path back to Godhead. And then if you move out in the future, if you're going to get married, have an independent life, then you have that taste. It's like, I don't want anything. Maybe I can't come to Mangalarti every day, or maybe I can't come to Bhagavatam class, but I want to. I'd rather be there. And when I can, then I will. I'll be watching online. There's many devotees outside who get up and watch Mangalarti online. So we may not see them, but they're actually there. When you got used to that standard, when you got trained up, when you got a bit purified, then it becomes normal. It becomes the setting that is normal for you. So these things are very powerful. These things are our step towards Chaitanya Lila. Like I was saying, the only way that we can ultimately get the mercy of Radha Gokula Nanda, Krishna's mercy, is to first get the mercy of Lord Chaitanya. Yata yata gaura padara vinde. It says that to the degree that you surrender to the service of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, to that degree you'll experience the taste of what it means to serve Srimati Radharani in Vrindavan. So if you dive into the ocean of serving Lord Chaitanya, which means what? Distributing books, going on Harinam, taking part in the Sangatam movement. If you absorb yourself in that, you dive into that, then where do you come up? When you surface, then you come up serving Srimati Radharani in Vrindavan. But to get Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mercy, first we have to get Lord Nityananda's mercy. Also coming up soon this week is Panihati Chidadahi Utsava. If you don't know what that means, it's a festival that I'll briefly explain. So Raghunath Das Goswami, we were mentioning him, one of our most important acharyas. Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami would pray for the mercy of Rupa and Raghunath at the end of every chapter of Chaitanya Charitamrita. Only Rupa Raghunath, interestingly. It's an interesting topic. Actually, Srila Prabhupada says that of the six Goswamis, only Rupa and Raghunath Das Goswami are Nitya Siddhis. So Raghunath Das Goswami, he was living at home. He was a member of a very wealthy family. He said his wife was as beautiful as Lakshmi Devi, and his family were extremely opulent. But Raghunath Das Goswami wanted to leave and get the mercy of Lord Chaitanya. And he was trying in various ways. He would just escape. He would just run away from home. But they would catch him and they would bring him back. And as Keshava Swami was saying last week, his mother was saying, let's tie him up. Tie him up, you know, he's gone mad. What can we do with him? I guess mothers are so attached to their children, they'd rather have them tied up at home than to leave. Actually, I heard one story, this is pretty heavy. If I lose track, then we were talking about Raghunath Das Goswami and Chidadahi. There's one story of one devotee who, he was getting into Krishna consciousness, he was coming to the temple, and it looked like he was just going to join the temple and become a brahmachari. But he had had a drug addiction previously and he was just coming off it. I think it was heroin. So he was coming off that, getting into devotional service, getting clean, chanting the holy name, coming to the temple. And his mother saw this and she was afraid that she was going to lose him to the Hare Krishna movement. So one night while he was asleep, she injected him with heroin so he would be, you know, hooked again, and then he wouldn't be able to cut the tie and surrender to Krishna. And as far as I know, I think she was quite successful. So material attachment may appear like love, but it may be lust masquerading in that form. And how do we determine it? In relationship to Krishna. Is it favorable for somebody's Krishna consciousness or is it unfavorable? So Raghunath Das Goswami, he was trying to leave to surrender to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, but his family kept bringing him back. You're not going anywhere. Let's tie him up. His father said, what's no point tying him up? His mind has already gone to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He's already there. It's not going to make any difference. You know, if he's not tied up by his beautiful wife, if he's not tied up by his wealth, then ropes are going to make no difference. But he couldn't get to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he was trying in various ways. And it was only when he went to Lord Nityananda, he paid dandavats in front of Lord Nityananda, and Lord Nityananda said, who is that over there? And they said, it's Raghunath Das. He said, no, it's a thief. It's a thief. He hasn't been coming here to me. He hasn't been giving me service. He hasn't been giving me his association. He should come here now to me. So he went to Lord Nityananda. Lord Nityananda says, you should perform a service for the Vaishnavas. He said, you have to do a festival for the devotees. You have to feed the devotees. Then everything will be auspicious in your life. So what did he do? He did the Panihati festival. So they had chipped rice, yogurt, different types of rice with mangoes and bananas. There's a nice picture of that in the Bhakti lounge over there. So Raghunath Das Goswami, he was feeding all the Vaishnavas. He was buying all these preparations, feeding the devotees who were coming. He was even buying the yogurt and the chipped rice from the shopkeepers. And then he was taking the shopkeepers to the festival and feeding the shopkeepers the yogurt and the chipped rice that he'd bought from them. He was feeding everybody. Everybody was happy. Lord Nityananda was there, and Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu also appeared. So they were also dancing at this festival. And when Raghunath Das Goswami had pleased the devotees, when he'd got the mercy of the devotees, and he'd obtained the mercy of Lord Nityananda, who had told him to do that, then he was able to leave through some trick, and he was able to escape and go to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and take shelter at Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's lotus feet in Jagannath Puri. He became the servant of Shroop Damodar Goswami, Lord Chaitanya's secretary, and then he went on to Vrindavan with the other six Goswamis and performed his important services there. So that's how the process works. We have to go through the devotees, just as Maharaj Prataparudra did. But we have to be suitably equipped to do that, right? The devotees are not just going to give you their mercy if you're a nonsense or a rascal, as Prabhupada would say. The devotees want to see you. You've got to also make an effort, right? You've got to be trying, at least. And not just trying, but you have to be making steps. You can't chant one round a day forever. No, you've got to get your act together, you know. Okay, you chanted one round for 10 years. Okay, you know, time to move on, time to do more. So if we're sincere, if we have education in Krishna consciousness, we have association, and we're making steps, then we will get the mercy of the devotees, we will get the mercy of Lord Nityananda, and then Lord Chaitanya, and ultimately we'll get the mercy of Krishna. And this is what Maharaj Prataparudra is showing us here in this verse, that we have to be determined, we have to be serious, and then if we follow the correct process, then we will ultimately get the mercy of the Lord. Okay, thank you for your attention. It's 8:30. Does anybody have any comments or questions? Yes, Peru.
Thank you, Shukla. Thank you. A wonderful class as usual. Question is, in principle, this mic is terrible.
Yeah.
Can you fix that? In principle, like, why?
I can repeat it, yeah. But it is in...
And then they give you up this such drumming and not you give up. So why is it like that?
I think in the beginning it's painful. God, that mic is so... Oh yeah, sorry, I'll repeat the question. Tarun Prabhu is saying that why all this austerity? Why does one have to go through this pain? We've got enough problems in this material world. We have our material body. We have these senses. Why not? You know, why can't it be pleasurable? Susukam kartam avyam. Krishna promises that it's pleasurable. Why does it all have to be based on austerity? Yeah, there's different things one could say. But ultimately, it's not. I think the real austerity is if we're impure, if we're attached and we want to enjoy, then we're trying to rip ourselves away from that conception. I want to be comfortable. I want to be happy. I want to be the center. I want to be, you know, worshipped. I want to be fed. I want to be served. I want to be looked after. And it's like so painful because your conception of life is not in line with what you're doing. If you're expecting happiness in the material world and you don't get it, then it's painful. If you're in knowledge that this material world is a place of suffering, it's not, I wouldn't classify it as suffering. We were talking about this in the last class I gave. Do devotees suffer or not? Did Prabhupada suffer? And you may experience pain, but some devotees, I think ultimately it's an expression of love. And the ultimate example for us always is these Raghunuga Bhaktis, the Bhaktas, these pure devotees. They're doing everything out of love. So Maharaj Prataparudra, he's like, I'm just not going to live if I can't get the mercy of Lord Chaitanya. For him, it's not an austerity. It's not like, oh, I really don't want to die, but you know, if I have to die, you know, the temple president said I have to do it, and I guess I'll have to do it anyway. I'll move out of the ashram in a few months anyway, so it doesn't really matter. It's like out of love, you know, I can't bear to live without Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, so I'm going to enter into the fire. It's just a consequence. It's just a byproduct of his love, that renunciation. So in our process, you know, for some people it may be, I can't give up meat. It may be like, I can't do it, you know. It's just impossible. But for a devotee, it's like, you know, why would I ever want to do that in the first place? It's like, if we have love for Krishna, if you're pure, you wouldn't even think about these things. The Kulashekhar Maharaji says, you know, when I think of sex, I spit at the thought. It's like, you know, it's repulsive. So for a devotee who is actually Krishna conscious, who is actually attached to Krishna, it's not austere, any of these things, to get up in the morning or to... Yeah. That we need to be rectified. That's the problem. We have our material attachments. Then it's going to be painful up until you don't have material attachments. That's our fault. We contaminated our hearts. That's naturally going to be painful because we're attached to the material world. You hate what? Yeah. Raghunath Das Goswami, Raghunath Das Goswami hardly ate. It wasn't about fasting. It's like he ate. Exactly. That's what we want, right? So we have to follow them. For them, it's not painful. For them, it's like, oh, I've said he ate a leaf cup of buttermilk every day. And sometimes he forgot. So for us, it's like, you know, it's the only thing we think about. And when am I going to eat? What am I going to eat? I heard it with Tribhuvanath Prabhu that, and yeah, it's interesting. We organize our life like that around when we're going to eat, right? Tribhuvanath Prabhu, he didn't do that. He didn't organize his life about when I'm going to have lunch. He just did his service. He's doing his service. If you've got to eat at some point, you know, something will come. He's not thinking, you know, okay, it's breakfast time. I'm going to stop class. I'm going to have breakfast. And I've got 3 hours and I'm going to eat lunch. I've got to be there to eat lunch. It's like, no, I'm doing my service. That eating is something that happens, you know, on the way. Yeah. Hope they're funny. Can you, this would need to be loud because everybody in the room is going to have to hear. They get what? They eat. Oh, they forget to, yeah. We need to make that thing Krishna. We shouldn't find that thing that fires us up materially and engrosses us more deeply in illusion. We should make that thing that inspires us Krishna. Is it necessary to what? Be courageous? Yeah. 100% necessary. You have to be very brave in Krishna consciousness. Even to come here, you're very brave. You know, many people would say you're mad. Why are you going to the Hare Krishna temple? You've got dhoti on. You've got tilak on. Where is it I went the other day? Oh yeah, I was going somewhere and I went in and said, have you been painting? I was wearing like my kami clothes because I'd been doing some work and I had some paint on. He said, have you been painting? And I said, no. And he went, like, my nose, you know, because of the tilak. I said, no, it's tilak. I said, I'm a Hare Krishna. And he said, oh, yeah, I know the Hare Krishna temple. But he thought, like, some paint had fallen on my face. So you have to be brave just to do what you're doing. So brave, what to speak of. Giving up everything for Krishna, one has to be very brave. It's like people love watching movies, right? I mean, even devotees watch movies, although it's not favorable for Krishna consciousness. They want to see some hero, especially men, like when they're watching movies, like it's like hero, like shooting people, diving off buildings, you know, like almost dying in car crashes, blowing things up, of course, you have to do that. I don't know if women like those ones, maybe more like romantic movies and things like that. But men like, you know, shooting each other. So there's a hero in the movie, right? There's a hero. He's doing this, he's doing that, overcoming all obstacles, like so many risks, and has to be so determined. Why don't you do that, you know? Why don't you be the hero? You know, sit in a dark room, you know, and watch someone didn't even do it, doing it. Do it yourself. Do it in your life, you know. Be a hero. Go through the obstacles and the difficulties that you need to go to achieve success. Don't put yourself in an even deeper illusion that we're already in. So yeah, we have to become a hero. We have to be determined and be brave. Yeah, another one, and then I'll open it up to anybody else. Secrecy. Why would that be important? With the secrecy, then, we come from a society where we get damaged in various ways. People treat us badly. Materialistic people, they just abuse each other in different ways, like subtly or grossly, or even subtle platform. Because Krishna is not the center. They don't know how to love, how to give love, how to care, even if they do it materially. Like, in family situations, then the parents, they love their children, but if they don't give them Krishna, they're just misguiding them throughout their whole lives. It's actually a disservice that they're doing to some degree. So when we come to devotee society, then we have to be open. If we're going to be secretive, then you're not open to being helped or being taught by devotees. So you don't have to go around to everybody telling everybody, you know, where we're at, what we do in our lives, or what problems we have. But at least there should be one person that you can trust in this society of devotees, we say where you're at. If we're not being open and honest about where I'm at and what difficulties I'm facing, then how is anybody going to help you? And we need to be helped in Krishna consciousness because we need to advance, we need to develop. Like in any educational system, you have a teacher who takes you from where you're at and he takes you to the next step. If I go to a driving instructor and I say, you know, I already know how to drive pretty much, and I sit in the car and he's like, you know, how is he going to teach me if I'm not telling him exactly where I'm at? I know this and I don't know this. I'm addicted to this and this and this. You know, this is fine. I struggle with this. I've got these doubts, you know. We have to be honest. If you're not honest and open, then nobody can help us. But it can be confidential. It doesn't need to be, you know, you don't need to print it out on a piece of paper and stick it on the notice board. But you need somebody at least one, better more, people that you have an open, honest relationship with. But it also requires humility. It's very difficult. Like I struggle with it also. You say we're struggling with something, some deep, dark secret. You know, to then tell somebody about it. And it can be like, it can engulf your consciousness. I have this thing, it's like, it's the only thing I can think about. And then you tell somebody about it. I've got this problem, and it's like, just disappears. And it's like, oh, so insignificant. And they're like, yeah, I got that problem too. And you're like, oh, good, thank God for that. You know, I'm not the only one. So it's very important to have those relationships. But yeah, they should be kept confidential. Okay, somebody, yes, Prabhu? Chaitanya Bhagavat. As that's what I read today. I didn't read the Chaitanya Bhagavat, but I read that it was from Chaitanya Bhagavat. That's what I read. Anything else?